are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my dear friends. It is June 23rd, 2025, and it is boiling hot here in Philadelphia. Oh, my goodness, you could cook or fry an egg on the sidewalk. It's so hot. So it's just unbelievable, the amount of heat. Last week it was cool. There were tornado warnings, which are so rare in the region, and a lot of damage. And now we have this extreme heat. So let us pray for all those who do not have fans or air conditioners right now. Let us pray in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for all those right now, who the disabled, the elderly, those who cannot afford even a box fan. We pray for all those to be taken to homes with air conditioner or libraries or cooling centers, a place where one can eat and drink and be cool. Jesus, we pray for all those who are listening right now to be safe and secure. Heavenly Father, we also pray with arms raised to heaven for peace in the Middle East. We pray for peace in the Middle East. We pray, dear Jesus, for a miracle, for your intervention as our special friends in Batania, Venezuela, Maria Esperanza once said, she prayed and said, Our Lady was the reconciler of all nations. So we pray to you, Our Lady, reconciler of all nations, to intercede before the heavenly throne for all the beating drums of war and of fear and of bombs and people being killed. We ask for prayer, Jesus, and peace in the Middle East. We ask for prayer, Jesus, from your heavenly body, for all those in the United States, our military that's serving. And Jesus, we also pray that there's no escalation. We ask for your mercy. We ask for your mercy and the power of your Holy Spirit to form a spiritual dome over the United States and of the world, that all people will reconcile. All people will reconcile, and there will be a spirit of peace. Lord Jesus, we ask today for assistance for the victims of all the tornadoes across the United States, all the terrible tornadoes that have been happening, those that are in little towns and big towns and cities, that there's so much news that the news can't even cover it. So we pray for all the victims that they will receive the assistance they need. And of course, we pray healing for all those who are listening, all those who are asking for prayer for family and friends. Jesus, you are the divine healer, and you know the needs of all who are listening. And last but not least, we pray for this apostolate to be a beacon of hope in the darkness, to be a beacon of hope in the darkness. We thank you, Saint Michael. We absolutely give you the hearts and souls of all those who are listening, of our radio station, of our listeners, and of course, the world. We ask St. Michael that you place your shield and protection upon all who serve the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. And dear Blessed Mother, we entrust all to your Immaculate Heart. And this month, the month of the Sacred Heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Speaking of that, did you hear that Ireland is now officially consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, or enthroned to the Sacred Heart of Jesus? I just read this the other day, and I'm so thrilled to hear that Ireland is now officially enthroned to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So don't forget how many programs we did talking about enthroning our homes to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Do not forget that. Do not forget that a picture hanging in your house isn't going to do it, or in your basement. You need to enthrone your home to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and all the instructions you can find on a website. But what in the world does the Lord want us to talk about today? Well, it is this topic, Lord, keep us focused on you. Now, I don't know about you, but with all this horrendous news coming across the airwaves, it's really hard, isn't it, to keep focused on the Lord? You want to tune in, you want to know what's happening, and maybe you just say a little prayer, but not enough prayer. So it's really hard, isn't it, to keep focused on the Lord when all this horrendous stuff is happening in the world. So today we're going to be talking a little bit how to stay focused on the Lord in the midst of all this turmoil. You know, God sometimes asks a great deal of us, doesn't he? Many of you are saying not sometimes, all the time God asks a great deal of us. But he never asks more of us than he's prepared to give in return. He calls us to let go of the things we are relying on as we let go of the things that we're looking to for security and hope and peace as we place our reliance on him. He gives us security and hope and the peace that passes all understanding. Now, this is our inheritance, my friends, as sons and daughters of God. If we're not experiencing this at this moment, it's because we have not yet learned to trust in him, to open our hands and to let go. Can you hear the Lord speaking to you today, even now, at this moment, as you listen to me on the radio, calling you to surrender more to him, pointing out those things in your life that you need to turn over to him? Now, the Lord is there for you. He's there for me. He's there for strangers. He's there for our enemies. He's there for all of us. Now, he's eager to reign over more and more of your life as you let go of even those things you're most afraid to release. And he knows how important it is that we do let go, doesn't he? And he knows what joy and peace is waiting for us when we do. He knows what heartache and pain we create for ourselves when we do not. Now, he spoke of it in strong terms through the prophet Jeremiah. I want you to open the book of Jeremiah tonight. Open the book. Cursed is the man who trusts in man, makes flesh his arm, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a seed planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Now, write this down. That's from Jeremiah 17, verse 5 to 8. Now, notice God says that heat and drought, that is hardship and heartache, will come. It will come. He does not promise us a life free of suffering, does he? But he does promise us his love and his abiding presence in our lives. And he does promise that if we rely solely on him and on his love, he will give us the strength we need for whatever comes our way. Now, he promises his peace, which passes all understanding. He promises us the presence of the Holy Spirit with all his gifts, wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. He promises us the great gifts of faith, hope, and love. Now, do you really want to receive all that God has for you today? I want you to answer that, no matter where you are. Do you really want to receive all that God has for you? Then let go. Let go. Let go of what you're clinging to at this very moment. You may be clinging to the kinds of things that you don't even want to talk about. You may be clinging to past hurts, to bitterness, to resentment. You may even feel entitled to cling to them. But I want you to think of Jesus. He endured false accusations, mockery, betrayal, and he knew great pain as his followers left him right in the midst of his suffering. But he chose even then to trust his Father. He was making a way for you, my dear listener. Let go of those things today that cause hardness of heart. Decide to forgive those who have hurt you. It's a decision, it's not a feeling. Decide to rely on God's love, and you will see him act in your life. And you'll see him work in your marriage and in your family, in your work and in your relationships. You'll see new strength, new hope, new confidence in your personal life too. Now you'll see the glory of God. Now don't sell the Lord short. Let go and rely on God's love. Can you do that? Can you do that? Now, how do we keep focused on the Lord in the midst of all these trials and tribulations? Let's start today with spiritual reading. Now, we've talked about many things, prayer, intercessory prayer, the sacraments, through all these different broadcasts. But it just reminded me over the weekend as I visited this tiny little library box near our mailbox. It had maybe 100 and some books that people put in there. Not one Christian book was in there. Not one Christian book was in there. So it made me think about spiritual reading and how it can help us grow in our life in Christ in so many ways. Now, let's look at four benefits of reading, spiritual reading. So if you're going to the beach, and I used to love to go to the beach, put my beach chair at the edge of the water, and read some dumb romantic novel. I raise my hand, I'm guilty of that. Years and years of reading stupid novels at the edge of the beach as the waves crashed into my feet because I told my husband these help to relieve stress. Never did I consider long ago spiritual reading at the edge of the beach. Now, spiritual reading can help us grasp the truths of the Catholic faith more clearly, or the Christian faith. Now, faith seeks understanding, doesn't it? Now, St. Anselm said, and we should all work to understand this. We all need to work and understand more fully the truths we initially believed in our faith journey. Clarity about these truths serves as a solid foundation for our daily Christian life. Many Catholics, and I'm addressing Catholics today, because this apostolate, this radio ministry, is called In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, but we're speaking to people of all denominations. We question the value of our sacraments, and if we understood the purpose and fruits of our sacraments, of God's mercy, we would appreciate the importance and practice it gives us. Now, the truths of the Catholic faith derive from God's revelation in sacred scripture and sacred tradition. Now, reading about them and meditating on them stirs our desire to know, love, and serve the Lord in this life, and our desire to be happy with him forever in the next. These are sacred teachings. Many of the fathers of the church studied and wrote their theology on their knees. Did you know that? Many of the fathers of the church studied and wrote their theology on their knees with a prayerful attitude and reverence for divine truth. Do we ever think of our reading the Catechism of the Catholic Church as spiritual reading, or is it merely an academic study? I remember Sister Breege McKenna saying to me maybe 20-some years ago in an interview, no theologian ever studied their way into heaven. No one ever studied their way into heaven. It's a relationship with the Lord. Now, spiritual reading is the main source of the food for thought that nourishes our prayer life. Now, a good book on the magnificent gift of the Holy Eucharist, or on the supreme love seen in the Passion of our Lord, or on the virtues of Our Lady and the saints, it can sustain us and strengthen us and inform our prayer life. Now, we all have heard of St. Teresa of Avila, right? Now, St. Teresa of Avila recommended that we always have good spiritual books nearby during meditation. Surprise! When our own thoughts run dry or our hearts feel so empty that it seems impossible to speak heart to heart to God, guess what? An inspiring thought from a good book can be the spark that ignites a wonderful conversation with the Lord. Now, I know those of you who are listening, you have dry times. You're like, oh, I don't really feel like it. Or you start watching The Chosen, for example, and you just can't get into it one night, but then maybe another night you can. You're in that spiritual dryness. St. Teresa also said, He's more eager to speak with us than we can ever be to speak with Him. Now, Jesus spent 3 years forming the apostles in the ways of the Christian life. Now, why? In order that they would be equipped to live it fully. Not 3 days, not 3 minutes, but 3 years. Now, we have to learn, as followers of Christ, these same ways, because they form the principles of our spiritual life. For those willing to learn, solid spiritual authors can provide a kind of gentle spiritual direction. It's a nudging. You get a little nudge from the Holy Spirit. In such essentials as growing in Christian virtue, overcoming temptation, and actually controlling disordered passions. Now, remember I read a couple weeks ago from the writings of Jean-Pierre de Caussade, Abandonment to Divine Providence. Try to find that. It's called Abandonment to Divine Providence. It gives many of these fundamental principles. Also, I highly recommend the works of St. Teresa of Avila. And if you're up to it, St. John of the Cross, they present the ways of prayer and spiritual growth profoundly for anyone eager to accept the challenge. Now, spiritual reading stirs up our motivation to run the race, to grasp Jesus, our goal and reward, as he grasps us. And that's from Philippians 3, 12 to 16. Now, this is very important, dear listeners, because as St. Augustine said, the road becomes long when we decide to follow Jesus. Now, I know personally how long this road can get and how we strive and beg for God's mercy on this long road. Even our best motivation weakens with time and often needs reinforcing, doesn't it? That's when we say, Lord, I need somebody to pray with me. Trust me, I'm the one that's always reaching out for prayer, but I also love to help those who need prayer. Spiritual reading renews us. It gives us a second wind. So if you're at the beach right now, put the book down, the romance novel. Put the book down. And if you have a Kindle or even a Google or you're on your phone, you can look up a good spiritual read. Matthew Kelly is another great spiritual read for our young people. Written many great books for motivation and spiritual development. Pope John Paul II said, we see the action of the Holy Spirit in concrete fashion. They inspire us, they stir us, and some, since we're humans, we're hero worshipers, aren't we? We find ourselves waiting to imitate them. Now, the autobiographies of the saints, they generally have the greatest impact on us, since they not only describe the outward actions of the saints, but also their inner thoughts and feelings. Now, I have a friend, a young friend, that I pray and intercede for. He's praying for a wife, a good Christian wife. He's a wonderful young man who wants to live a holy life, but he's praying for a good Christian woman. He's not Catholic, but guess who he's attracted to? St. Augustine. I perked up when I heard he loves to read St. Augustine. So I highly recommend this to you, St. Augustine's Confessions. It's a classic. It's still life-changing today for many who identify with his struggles on the road to finding God. Okay, so that's St. Augustine's Confessions. If you're struggling on that long road we talked about to finding God. Now, The Story of a Soul by St. Therese of the Child Jesus is another classic. A lot of these were published by Tan Books. I'm not quite sure if they're still in publication, but if you can look it up, and a lot of them are on the internet. The Story of the Soul by St. Therese of the Child Jesus is another classic, my friends. It was written under obedience to her superiors, but Therese herself asked that it be published. She had an inspiration from God, a premonition that her little way of spiritual childhood would help so many souls to know and love him. And sometimes those who know a saint personally write his or her biography, right? Sometimes, not all the time. Now, Saint Bonaventure, Brother Thomas of Silena's biographies of Saint Francis of Assisi are based on evidence they gathered from those who knew Francis. So no matter what type of spiritual reading we do, it's important that we do enough of it, not here and there, or even on vacation. Put that spiritual book next to your bedside or your reclining chair in the living room with your Bible and your prayer cards and your rosaries. Put it next there. And maybe you don't even feel like reading, but select one. Select a book and just place it there, and the Lord will let you know when to pick it up. This takes discipline, my friends. It takes discipline, but you have to go through the exercise of getting the book, praying for what book to get, and then placing it in a place that you will eventually get to it. It may not be at the beach this year. You may put it in your beach bag, and maybe your sister or brother or child will pick it up. No matter what type of spiritual reading we do, it's important that we do enough of it. Now, this takes discipline. So are you ready for discipline? Are you ready? 15 minutes a day seems like a good target today. 15. I'm just coming up with 15 because all of my readings over the years and retreat work, 15 minutes seem like a nice number, like a good target. But many people can't even do that. And they prefer to get into their spiritual reading for an hour or two or listen to spiritual tapes, which is a great substitute when we don't have time to read or you have eyesight problems, especially while you're in a car. Now, regardless of how or when we do it, the point is that we must do at least a minimum in order to nourish our soul. It's important and essential that we pray daily for the grace to know and to do God's will faithfully. And how can we do that if we're not taking time to be focused on him? How can we listen to him whisper in the silence of our hearts? Because he wants to, especially at this time in history. We need to be listening. We need to be faithful listeners. But as those who train for marathons and, you know, you do all the exercises and you're trying to lose weight or whatever, you're working at it. You're spending time. So we have to work on our spiritual fitness today. We need to really, truly work on our spiritual fitness, and that's by good spiritual reading. And we have, wow, in the Catholic Church, amazing spiritual authors and saints. And you may say, oh, I'm not really into it. I'm really not into it. Just this weekend, my two grandchildren, who are teenagers, after they heard of the bombing in Iran, turned to me and said, Mom, is this the end of the world? Now, I smiled and said, quote, we do not know the time or the hour when the Lord will call us. We do not know, and those who prophesy it and think they know it do not listen. I said, we do not know the hour or time. But they're hearing and seeing on social media many, many people, so-called preachers, saying, this is it. This is it. This is the book of Revelation. We do not know the time or the place when the Lord will call us. Yes, we're living in end times. That doesn't mean the end of the world. We don't know what this means. Yes, it is in correlation with the book of Revelation. We're living in end times, but that does not mean the end of the world. And we cannot prophesy or listen to prophecies that tell us, oh, by this time next year, you know, we won't be here. We don't know what God has in store for us. So be aware that young people are being influenced greatly on social media, so greatly, greatly, greatly with this information. So we need to be spiritually disciplined and mature to answer these questions, because we have no idea when someone will ask, or even if we have that fear. If we have that fear, oh, does this mean this is it? What does this mean? We're looking for an answer. We don't know what God has in store for us. We need to pray. We need to pray. We have to pray daily for the grace to know and do God's will faithfully. And Jesus himself taught us to pray to the Father that thy will be done. That's the name of this radio broadcast. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, pray the Our Father slowly and carefully tonight. Listen to the words you're praying from Matthew 6, verse 10. St. Paul prayed unceasingly for his Colossian friends and converts to be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Keep in mind, dear listener, that God usually does not reveal his complete will to us all at once. Now, I'm not making that up. That's not my theology or spirituality. This is scriptural. This is scriptural. He does not reveal his complete will to us all at once, especially if we're beginners in the spiritual life. So if you're a newbie, and if you just surrendered your life to the Lord, or you're someone who's lived a good Christian life and you're wondering, what do I do? You need to resurrender and rededicate your life to Jesus. Rather than getting the big picture, we have to move more often to get just a piece or two of the puzzle, don't we? We just have to get a piece or two of the puzzle. And when the Lord called St. Francis, do you remember we've talked about St. Francis of Assisi? The saint asked him what he was to do. Now, all of us are asking God, what do you want us to do? Jesus simply told him to go back to Assisi, and it would be told him what he was to do. Now, this was only the first step on that long, long journey we talked about 10 minutes ago. It was only the first step in a long conversation process. Now, once we take that first step, God usually reveals his will gradually as we're able to grasp his full meaning. But boy, oh boy, isn't that first step the hardest? Putting our toe into the water? I shared that with someone I know and love. They were terrified of making a life-changing decision. They knew it was from God, but they were terrified to make the first step. And I said, the first step is the hardest. And then God will open the doors. And that's exactly what happened. We become more aware of what God is doing in our lives or what he is asking us when we open ourselves to him. If we stop to think about it, many of us realize that we understand God's will more clearly now than 2 years ago, right? And 2 years ago, we understood it more clearly than 2 years before that. Now, when St. Francis heard Jesus tell him from the cross of San Damiano, go and rebuild my church, which, as you see, is falling into ruin, guess what? The saint one about repairing the dilapidated chapels with stone and mortar. And later on, the Holy Spirit helped him realize he was called to rebuild faith and love in the hearts of the faithful, the church as the mystical body of Christ. And after the break, my friends, we have so much more to share. We're going to keep on learning how to keep focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. So stay tuned.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. I'm so happy to be with you today as we talk about, Lord, keep us focused on you. Let us be a disciplined people. And I hope you stay with me through the next half hour because the Lord has so much in store. And we thank him and praise him in advance for all that he is doing. And again, I also ask that you continue to pray for peace in the world, that our president will have the wisdom and knowledge to do what is right, and that the people of the world, as Maria Esperanza said in the 1980s in Batania, Venezuela, that Our Lady is the reconciler of all nations. So we call upon Our Lady, the reconciler of all nations, to place her mantle around all the disunity and hatred and revenge that is now happening around the world. So we don't want that to enter into our lives, do we? We do not want that disunity, that hatred, that revenge, that malicious spirit to enter into our homes and our families. We want to be people of peace. So in order to do that, we need to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ to become very disciplined in our spiritual walk. Not once on Sunday, we go to Mass and we pull out of the parking lot, go get donuts and we get breakfast and boy, we did our Sunday obligation. That is not walking in the spirit of the Holy Spirit or in what God wants of us. He wants to take us deeper, my friends, deeper, deeper, deeper. So St. Francis de Sales viewed the will of God under two aspects. Now, the first he called God's signified will. God reveals what to do or what not to do. Now, God makes this known to us through his commandments. How many of us don't even know the commandments? His church teachings and the duties of our particular state in life. So if you're a father, a grandfather, a mother, a single woman, a single man, a teen, when we follow God's signified will, we say we're doing or fulfilling his will. This is where proper discernment begins. By doing God's will, as far as we know, it right here and now. Now, I'm going to share an example. A neighbor, a teenager, was sharing with me this weekend about discerning what high school to go to, and was really, really upset. Couldn't discern which one. And I said, well, what do you believe, what school do you believe would be the best, will help you to become the best version of yourself? Which was written by Matthew Kelly many, many years ago. Great book. And the teen looked at me, becoming the best version of myself? What do you mean? Well, what school will help you to become more Christ-like? That you won't fall victim to social antics, that you will grow into a mature man. What school will bring you into that to become the best version of yourself? And then I said, either decision, if made with purity of intention, God will honor. He's not going to interfere in that young man's free will. He's not going to interfere. But if the young man prays and prays, then God may answer him. But if he has purity of intention, Lord, I want to go where you want me to go. I want to become the best version of myself in your eyes. Will you please help me? Even if he chooses the wrong one initially, the Lord will take his hand and lead him back to the one that he has chosen. I have seen this over 40-some years in ministry in my life over and over again. God does not interfere in our free will. He does not. But if you have purity of intention, asking him what is his will, and even if you make the wrong decision, God will take care of it. I know this message is for someone today listening. You're confused. You have decisions to make. And we're talking about keeping our focus on the Lord. Even if people say you make the wrong decision, if you pray from your heart, the depths of your heart for the right decision, God will bring it around. But he will not interfere in your free will. He will not interfere. You see, if we follow God's signified will, we'll find that, as the saying goes, and we all remember this, we bloom where we're planted. We bloom where we're planted. Now, this has really important benefits, doesn't it? For once, we won't waste personal opportunities because we're looking for some extraordinary mystical experience to show us what God wants of us in the future. And boy, oh boy, do I hear this over and over, looking for the mystical experiences. By doing God's signified will, we'll learn to appreciate the importance of the small, even seemingly insignificant tasks the Lord sets before us. Now this, my friends, prepares us to do the bigger tasks when they come along, like he who is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. Luke 16, verse 10. As we accomplish God's signified will, we're working towards achieving any hidden goal the Lord has in mind. Now, Cardinal John Henry Newman, he was a famous English convert of the 19th century. He echoed this truth and he wrote, quote, God has created me to do him some definite service. I have my mission. I may never know it this in this life, but I shall be told it in the next. I shall do good. I shall do his work while not intending realizing it, but if I do, but keep his commandments and serve him in my calling, end quote. We shouldn't fret if we don't have a clear understanding of everything we think God expects of us. Now that keeps you focused on the Lord. We don't have to have a clear understanding of everything we think God expects of us. Now, if someone gives us directions over the phone to a place we've never been, we'll get there. If we follow those directions, right? or your navigation system on your car, even if the landscape's unfamiliar, you're trusting in that navigation system. Now, the Ten Commandments are God's directions for us. That's our navigation system. If we follow them, we'll reach our destination, which is heaven, isn't it? We're reaching all over the place for answers. Even if we don't always recognize the landmarks, the landscape of events and tasks in our personal lives, which are changing constantly, right? We pass along the way. Doing God's will as we know it is a sign of our love for him. It's that simple. And as this love grows and grows, our purity of heart that we just talked about increases. Jesus says that purity of heart enables us to see God in the sense that we recognize his presence and action in our lives. St. Mother Teresa once wrote to me, and I have the copy in a safe deposit box, and I made copies for my children. They're actual relics now. If we center our lives on the Eucharist and the Word of God, we will see the likeness of Christ in every human being. And this is what God is asking of us. That's what he's asking of us. We need to recognize his presence and actions in our lives. This gift is a result of our maturing in the Holy Spirit. It sharpens our spiritual vision, doesn't it? And makes us more capable of recognizing God's will in specific instances. Now, St. Francis de Sales also, now I read several of his books years and years ago, and so I have some of these notes. He also talked about God's will of good pleasure. Now, I'm sure those of you who are tuning in now are saying, what? I heard good pleasure. This includes those events and circumstances that God directly intends and brings about by the operation of his divine providence. Now, these situations are not dependent on our own efforts. Hear that clearly. As the saying goes, man proposes, but God disposes. In these situations, we speak of accepting God's will. Now, divine providence springs from God's infinite love and wisdom, by which he directs the course of events in our lives for his greater glory and our salvation. Now, sometimes, we are so disappointed, and many times we're confused by the circumstances in our lives until it becomes evident what God really intends. We've all experienced this. We know that. We'll start a project with plan A, but before we know it, God's moving to mysteriously to plan B or even C. As Mother Teresa used to say, if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans. Now, we have to be ready to abandon our own preconceived ideas when they do not correspond to God's. Now, if you read in the sacred scriptures, St. Paul, who certainly had the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he tried twice to evangelize certain areas of Asia Minor. But guess what? The Holy Spirit prevented him. And later on, he received a vision to go to Greece, with the result that the gospel came to Europe. We want to avoid blind stubbornness, don't we? At those times, we need to. Instead, to God's will, we need to lean into God's will. Doing so will bring many unforeseen blessings. The will of God's pleasure includes instances where he permits events to happen that he does not directly intend or want. Now, really? These would include moral evils such as unjust wars or bombings, violence, religious desecration, sexual immorality, of all which are contrary to his significant and signified will. Because God gives us free will, he allows us to use our freedom even to do evil. Oh my goodness, that's just what we shared. He's not going to interfere in your free will. Now, from this evil, God will ultimately draw good. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. This type of increase, this aspect of God's will that we're talking about, is called his permissive will. Now, original sin is a leading example of the permissive will of God. Now, God never intended, listen carefully, Adam and Eve to sin, but he permitted their sins to happen to show us even greater love, the outpouring of his mercy in the incarnation of his divine Son as Lord and Savior. Now, the events that God permits to happen in our lives, right? They bring disturbance, even injustice and suffering. And so we speak of submitting to God's will, bearing patiently what God sends. Does this sound familiar? Now, St. Teresa of Avila put a high priority on wise guidance in discerning God's will for our lives and keeping our focus on God. None of us can see ourselves completely. None of us. We're a mystery, even to ourselves, with blind spots due to our ignorance or prejudice or even our shortcomings. A wise guide can easily step back and get a better look at a problem or question that we're too close to. When Samuel, the prophet, was a young boy living at the temple of God, he heard the Lord call him. Not recognizing the Lord's voice, he misinterpreted the call. Wow, Samuel misinterpreted the call? It was the priest Eli who finally realized what was happening and gave Samuel the sound advice that if we heard the voice again, he was to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." This advice, my dear friend, to young Samuel sums up the attitude we should have when we're seeking God's will or we're seeking to focus on him. We want to prepare ourselves to hear the Lord when he speaks, and then in humble service, be ready to faithfully carry out his will. So in order to do that, we need to be disciplined. Not haphazard or, oh, praise God. And what do you want, God? We need to be a disciplined Christian in our prayer life. You know, someone once said that if heaven had a complaint department, the biggest complaint would be unanswered prayers, wouldn't it? People pray and pray and pray and pray more and more, but they never seem to get an answer. So why not? So why isn't that complaint department from heaven answering us? Well, God certainly hears all our prayers, but maybe, just maybe, the answer he gives is one we don't expect. Maybe it's no. See, if you are a friend of Our Lady, you'll remember October 13th, 1917, the appearance of Blessed Mother at Fatima. Lucia asked Our Lady to cure certain people, and Our Lady said that some would be cured, but not others. These latter first had to amend their lives and ask forgiveness for their sins. Now, God may fulfill the prayer request of a person living a sinful life so as to draw that person to conversion. So just holy people aren't always healed. He may heal someone to bring them to conversion. St. Therese said, well, we receive from God what we expect to receive. That's called expectant faith, isn't it? Judging from all the unanswered prayers in that old complaint department up in heaven, we may conclude that many do not expect much. Are you one of those? Are you in that department saying, I don't expect much. God doesn't really answer my prayers, and he's not going to answer it today, even listening to this radio broadcast. So I'm going to stand outside the complaint department and watch everybody else get healed or turned down. Are you one of those individuals? I just suspect that we have a bunch of listeners today. Our Lord assures us of the power of prayer, my friends, the power of prayer. The Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. from John 15 and 16. But Jesus also commented on how we must pray. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive it, and you will. Now, do you always believe that your prayer will be answered? This is the type of confidence we need in prayer. Effective prayer is also persevering. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. This certainly strengthens our confidence to pray, doesn't it? Now remember, Jesus did not say you need only ask once. Nor did he say, oh, by the way, seek for 5 minutes and that will be enough. Nor did he say knock just 3 times. Persevering prayer requires that we keep asking, seeking, and knocking. We have to keep asking, seeking, and knocking. Now, I want you to remember the story of the parable of Jesus about the man who had visitors arrive late at night. Now, that's from Luke 11, verse 5 to 8. And he doesn't have any food to offer them. So he goes to his neighbor's house and knocks on that door. The neighbor, already in bed, tells him to go away. But the man persists, and the neighbor gets up, gives him whatever he needs, not out of friendship, but because he wants to get some sleep. So keep on knocking. If we get discouraged and give up, our request may simply become another unanswered prayer. I believe, my friends, that God says yes to our prayers more often than no. Although I don't know of any surveys that support this conclusion for real. And when he does say yes, he may qualify his reply. He may say yes right now. For example, yes, but you'll have to wait a little while, Joey or Mary or Susie or Jane. Or yes, but you're going to have to wait a long time, like St. Monica. Or yes, but you'll be surprised, because our God is a God of surprises. So, what do you want? Do you want the prayer, the microwave? The microwave cooking? It's nearly instantaneous. I know I surely love my microwave, and I surely love when Christ answers my prayers quickly. You put the food in, you push a few buttons, and no time that food's piping hot. I love my microwave. But sometimes God, in a manner of speaking, puts our prayer in the microwave. We just about finish saying the prayer, and he answers it. Yeah, I found that God allows St. Anthony of Padua to use the microwave a lot of times. Now, most people cook their meals on a stove, a method that, you know, takes a little time. And when God answers our prayers on the stove, so to speak, he lets them run their natural course. Now, many times, if a student's praying, and if you're listening on Monday, to pass an exam you'll take on Thursday, your prayer will not be answered on Tuesday. If a pregnant woman is praying for a successful delivery, her prayer will not be answered until the baby in her womb has developed sufficiently. God answers such a prayer by saying, yes, but you'll have to wait a little while as the situation runs its course, like a good meal cooking on the stove. But sometimes God responds to our prayers by saying, yes, but you're going to have to wait a long, long time. It's not easy to hear this, is it? And sometimes we don't even hear that. We just wait and wait and pray and pray. You put a stew in the slow cooker at 8 o'clock in the morning and it's still cooking at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, right? Throughout the day, you're checking on it and you end up with a delicious stew. Now that slow cooker symbolizes those prayer requests that are so important. In fact, they're too precious to hurry through. God wants to give a beautiful gift that usually has a marvelous grace-filled impact, not only for the petitioners, but for many of us who are affected by the slow cooking cooker prayer in ways only God could foresee. A lot of times, my friends, these slow cooking prayers involve significant religious experiences. Don't you find that? especially when it deals with a person's conversion. St. Francis, for example, prayed for nearly 3 whole years before he understood the form of religious life that Jesus wanted for him to embrace so that he could be a special instrument in rebuilding the church. Now, we all know the story, especially if you're from South Philly, of St. Monica. Another example of the rewards of long simmering prayer. Pray for years and years for the conversion of her husband. And it was the conversion of her son, the great St. Augustine, for which she is best known. Now, Augustine said his mother prayed for his conversion for over 16 years. She prayed in church twice a day for 16 years, morning and night. And Augustine said that the floor where she knelt in prayer was always wet with her tears. And she even asked the bishop to talk to her son. But he told St. Monica that her son was not ready to listen to anyone. Now, does this sound familiar to anyone? That your son, your husband, your wife is not ready to listen to anyone. St. Monica burst in tears when the bishop said this to her, prompting the bishop to say prophetically that it would be impossible that the son of so many tears would be lost. God heard Monica's prayers, saw her tears, and said yes, but he made her wait a long, long time. Her story has touched so many lives over the centuries, hasn't it? Who identify with an anguished plea. And I know today we have mothers and spouses and grandmoms anguish pleas for their loved one. What a marvelous grace God was preparing all those years for St. Monica. And he's preparing for you in that slow cooker. I want you to picture that crock pot where it's being savored and to think about St. Monica and St. Augustine. Sometimes the answers to our prayers involve an element of surprise. I have a friend, she loves to say God is a God of surprises. God gives us so much more than we ever thought possible. Now, at other times, he gives us something we really need, although we may not have known we did. And sometimes it's not exactly the thing we prayed for. We find ourselves really disappointed, don't we? And when we look back with hindsight, we recognize the hand of God and know that the things that took place were really the answer to our prayers after all. They really were the answer to our prayer after all. A Confederate soldier of the American Civil War captures this sort of surprising yes from God. And I want to end the program with this. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for help that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I may have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men, most richly blessed. You, my friend, are most richly blessed today. So as you ask God for strength and he allows you to be made weak, you ask for help to do greater things, and you're given an infirmity. You ask for riches that you may be happy, and you're given poverty. Let us ponder these words today, to walk humbly with our God, to learn that he wants us to focus on him, to be disciplined warriors of his kingdom, to know that he loves us in a special way, that he loves all of us, regardless of our stance before him. Tonight, stand before the foot of the cross, place your hands up, upwards, and say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I surrender my life and I want to be focused on you. I believe that all things work together for the good. Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Until next week, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.